What a start. NBA Australia. How you going? NBA Australia for Wednesday, November 22. This is NBA Australia, your daily podcast for all things NBA with a dash of Australia. I'm James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, The Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Derong Guys NBA podcast. And I'm here to take you through daily breakdowns of the hottest of NBA storylines, who's doing what, how they're doing it, where they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. Good stuff. It really is. We're talking about what happened last night in the NBA, talking a bunch of smack about a bunch of other NBA junk, and covering off what the Australian players are up to. Today, we have some dumb segments like, where in the world is Jonah Bolden? Look at me, look at me. The award-winning Yeah Nah, and a very special guest swinging by. It's Andrew Bogut checking his Twitter. Plus, it's our Thanksgiving special. We're going to break down 45 games over this long weekend and find something to be thankful for in each of them. It's massive. It's huge. All right, let's go. All right. This is NBA Australia. And, you know, we always start with the daily whip around where we catch up on all things NBA. What happened last night? We had some breaking news. Paul Millsap is out for 3 months after having surgery on a torn left wrist ligament. That's brutal. Denver signed him to a three-year, $30 million contract. Well, three-year, $90 million contract, $30 million a year in the offseason. And it's tough, man. Denver just sort of starting to look good. Thing is, they can replace the guy. They did end the season with about seven power forwards on their roster. They had Millsap. They had the Manimal, Kenneth Faried. They had Trey Lyles. They've got Tyler, Trey, Lydon. They had Darrell Arthur, small ball Wilson Chandler, and one, there's only one Hernan Gomez. So now it's time, I guess, for the Nuggets to figure out if Trey Lyles was worth giving up Donovan Mitchell for. I mean, tough ask. Mitchell looks good. It'd also be really handy if one, there's only one Hernan Gomez hadn't had freaking mono all year, but he's back now, so it'd be fun to see if that dude can stick. He had 11-4 against the Kings on Monday in his fourth game back. But still, man, Millsap being out is a bummer for the Nugs. And there was one game last night. It was the Bulls at Lakers. Bulls 94, Lakers 103. It's a great Lakers comeback. They were down around 20 in this game. Ingram, the notorious KCP, and the Kurs brought him back. The Lopez versus Lopez, Brook versus Robin was a bit of a letdown, which is weird, having spent the last 5 years going to Brooklyn Nets games. Brook Lopez and Robin Lopez had one of the sneaky good rivalries going in the NBA, you know, considering that they're freaking twins and everything. But Robin always seems to play about 400 bajillion times better against Brook. And last night, he definitely had the better of him. He had 14 points and 7-11 shooting and held Brook to only 4 points and 2 of 10. But hey, man, the Lakers win. Lonzo Ball, meanwhile, Jesus. The Bulls. Well, let's talk about the Bulls side for a second. So we're going to get to Lonzo in our hashtag better than Lonzo Ball segment. But the Bulls last night even tried to hack a Lonzo because they felt so confident he'd fuck it up. But the Bulls being the Bulls, they fucked up. They fouled him off the ball in an effort to hack a Lonzo, but forgot that it was in the last 2 minutes of the game. So that gave the Lakers a chance to extend the lead with a free three throw and the ball back. Stupid Bulls. Meanwhile, for the Bulls, Denzel Valentine celebrated the release of the new Denzel movie, Roman J. Israel Esquire, scoring 17 and looking very good. While Chris Dunn looked like an honest-to-God real NBA player, which was a surprise. A bit more power to you. And finally, for this game, it was fun. Ingram looked surprisingly badass, and the notorious KCP gave him a bit of swagger. It's pretty cool. But on the weird, cool rookie guys, we're going to talk about the Cuz extensively a little bit later. But on the Bulls side, we had Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen. He had 13-14 in a double-double. The only rookie this year to lead his team in both scoring and rebounding. Pretty cool. Good on you, Lowry. Good on you. So that was all for the whip around. So we move straight into the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. That's a knife. Blakeney, oh my God, he yacked on Julius Randle like a man. This is a two-way G League player that the Bulls called up and are like, all right, cool, Antonio Blakely, Blakeney, let's see how you go. And the dude has got some fucking hops. He smashed Julius Randle. Thing is, he then got a tech for looking at Randle. Can we fuck off with this already? You're not going to start a fight by looking at a guy. Come on, man. Sean Kemp dipped his nuts on Chris Gatling's forehead, knocked him to the ground, and then fucking was like, what up, Gatling? And Gatling dapped him up in respect. It's like, Jesus. You know what? You can do that. It's not going to start a fight every time. It fucking kills like the competitive spirit of this. Teams need to get pissy at each other, I think. And, you know, fans love nothing more than rivalries that actually mean something. And you know that Randle and Blakeney are always going to have like a little bit of a connection now. And the NBA are just sort of weirdly just like, I don't know, we think that's bad. Refs, make sure you give them a tech. That is brutal. They're out there actively hamstringing this fun shit. It's not cool. Come on, man. You can look at a dude after you dunk on him. It's not disrespectful. Just look at the guy. Just go, heh. What about if he just shrugged and went, hey, what do you do? Still going to get a tech? Get the fuck out of here, refs. Anyway, Blakeney, you are awesome. You get the NBA Australia, approved performance of the night. That was a knife. Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? That's Cristiano, not Ronaldo Felicio. Dude has 0 points and 2 rebounds in 12 minutes. Sorry, Cristiano. Your old mate, no mates today because you were shit. Right, time for the Better Than Lonzo Ball segment. It's everybody's favorite.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average.
Ah, man. He just wishes he was average, huh? This is getting pretty brutal on the old Lonzo Ball stakes. This is our daily look-in into who was better than Lonzo Ball or if anyone was better than Lonzo Ball. Because sometimes he's going to be really good. Thing is, Lonzo is averaging 8.9 points, 6.9 rebounds, nice, and 6.9, nice, assists per game, and 7.4 rebounds. Did not have a great game last night, but who is better than Lonzo Ball today? The Cuz, Kyle Kuzma, Kuz, had 22 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. He shot 4 of 7 from 3. He was the only thing that kept the Lakers in the game for very long stretches last night. Lonzo, meanwhile, had a pretty rough one, went 3 of 13 from the floor, 2 of 8 from 3, woof, ended up with 8 points, 13 rebounds, which is pretty badass for a guard, and only 4 assists. Of course, he's a 6'6 guard, but still. Lonzo currently shooting 30% from the field, 23% from 3, and 46.2% from the free throw line. As mentioned, the Bulls tried to hack on Lonzo last night. Meanwhile, Kuz is averaging nearly 17 points and 6.5 rebounds per game. And this is pretty crucial, shooting 50% from the field and 36% from three. For the 27th pick, that's fucking amazing. Kuz is also the first Lakers rookie to score 10-plus points in 12 straight games since the immortal George Lynch in 1993-94. So today, Kuz is better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
I got a lot of time for LaVar, but sometimes some shit's going to backfire, huh? All right. It's time for coming up next, we have the award-winning Yeah Nah. We've got Look At Me, Look At Me. And he was a teammate of Sheen Hill's weird throwback guy of the week. Coming right up next. All right, it's Yeah Nah. We've got 3 Yeah Nahs where we take 3 NBA storylines and get a Yeah Nah, and we figure out whether or not it's more Yeah or more Nah, I don't reckon. So first up, LaVar Ball comes out to say that the Lakers coaching staff are soft on Lonzo. He just wants his the coaches to be tougher on his kid just to get that W. Is this a yeah, nah, yeah? Yeah, nah, nah? Yeah, nah. Yeah. I don't know, man. Lonzo gets a haircut, starts playing a little bit better, and then plays shit again. Maybe he does need a little bit more of a head kicking from Luke Walton, but that doesn't seem to be Luke Walton's way. Thing is, he's got Brian Shaw on staff, and that's definitely Brian Shaw's fucking way. So, pretty weird. It's pretty weird. Next up, we have the Bucks. Mirza Teletovic is out 4 weeks, and That's tough, man. And so is John Hansen for tonight. Is this going to sink the Bucks for a little bit without Mirza, without John Hansen? Very, very brutal. Give me a yeah, nah. Nah, of course not. Yanni, the Giannis, the Greek freak, is he'll be fine. He's going to sort them out. And then the final yeah, nah. Ray Allen being catfished. Should we be blaming him for the dude is married and he's out there being catfished by a dude? And Allen turned around and said that, no, I was the one catfishing him. Is Ray Allen a sneaky fucking giant crazy ass weirdo? Yeah, nah. Yeah. Of course he fucking is. He's the dude with like the weird OCD. His mum was at every fucking Boston game forever. This is a very, very strange story about how basically Ray Allen apparently paid a dude, allegedly, paid a dude to not go public with the fact that he'd been catfished and some weird sort of gross DMs and stuff. And turns out Ray Allen then got busted for stalking the dude. And this is all very, very, very strange. So Ray was communicating with these apparently attractive women. And turns out it was a dude. Ray, what are you doing? Come on. You're old enough to be smarter than this. Anyway, so there you go. Ray, you're a fucking sneaky weirdo. Yeah, nah, yeah. Yeah, nah, yeah. It is a cold, cold world out there, Ray Allen, sometimes. All right, y'all ready for the extra awesome segment? This is going to just back up what we said yesterday. Can we just fire Doc already? Doc Rivers. You being in the media is going to be fun. Your team is in the middle of a nine-game losing streak, and it's not going to get any better. I just can't see you dragging this team to a better sort of position ever. They just need a change of scenery. And what better way than to fire Doc? Man, you get to play way more golf. Just think about that. That'd be fun. All right, he was a teammate of Shane Heels, weird throwback guy of the week. It's Wednesday, so we're going to have like weird throwback dudes on Wednesday to do with Australian NBA players in the past. And this one today, he was a teammate of Shane Heels. He was Stoko Vrankovic. Who? Stoko! Give him L, Stoko! He was a big hulking Croatian center. He was fucking massive too, 7'2". Played 170 career games though. Across five seasons from 1990 through to 1999. Big gap in the middle when he went back to Europe. Played for Boston, Mini, and the Clips. His best ever game was an 11-5. He put up a My Sonics in the 1996-97 season when he played next to Shane Heal. Pretty cool. And Stoko now runs the Croatian Basketball Federation. This dude was gigantic. He also had an amazing block in international play. So good job, Stoko. You're our... He was a teammate of Shane Heal's weird throwback guy of the week. Coming up next, we're going to break down where and when you can watch all the Australian players this weekend. NBA Australia! All right, the NBA Australia, Australian Player Watch. We do have 45 games coming up over the Thanksgiving break. So we're going to quickly whip around the entire idea of where you can catch Australian players. Ben Simmons is playing the Blazers tonight. Magic Saturday, Cavs on Monday. Nice one. We're going to break down some of the matchups in this 45-game breakdown too. Patty Mills is playing the Pelicans tonight, the Hornets on Saturday, and the Mavs on Monday. Joe Jingling Joe Ingles has got the Bulls tonight and the Bucks on Saturday. And Dally and Thong, obviously play Joe Ingles on Saturday, but they play the Suns tonight as well. So a bit of a strain on Australian violence there on Saturday. Aaron Baines, as the Boston Celtics try to extend this gigantic 16-game winning streak. Tonight, they'll be trying to do it against the Heat. Sneaky. Then they have the Magic on Friday, Pacers on Saturday, and the Pistons on Monday. Man, they're going to have to drop one of those, I guess. Four games in not a long amount of time. And Andrew Bogut, we'd usually do our Australian whip around with some, catch-ups on how they did last night in games that they played. But Andrew Bogut, didn't play against the Bulls. So he's got to be hoping that he can play either against the Kings tonight or the Clippers on Monday. And so that's the NBA Australian dudes for this weekend. That'll be fun. And how about a daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? The answer, as always, yeah. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch is Kyrie. You can obviously just catch him next Aaron Baines against the Heat, Magic, Pacers, and Pistons. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's Wednesday. We also have our usual NBA Straya, where in the world is Jonah Bolden? We did Aussie Shaq last week. We're now going to do Bruce Bolden's son. Because dude looked awesome playing overseas last year and was drafted by the Sixers. Pick 36, second rounder. He's now a Eurostash, however, for those same Sixers and playing for Maccabi Tel Aviv. That's pretty good. He's only averaging 6.4 points and 4.6 rebounds in 16 minutes a game, and he's fouling three times in that time too, which is pretty brutal. But he has been playing pretty fucking well. Maccabi Tel Aviv beat the Luka Doncic-led Real Madrid the other day. Bolden looked amazing. He had some dubious foul calls, so he only got to play 10 minutes and got no run after the 8-minute mark of this third quarter. But Bolden still scored 8 points. He shot 4 of 4 from two, missed his only three-pointer, and got 7 rebounds, which is pretty badass. Maccabi then also, he played one more game after that, and it was against Andalouf Efes, and they got blown out, Maccabi. But Bolden was also pretty good. He had 12 points, didn't miss a shot, had 8 rebounds and 4 blocks. So Jonah Bolden, he's out there smashing in EuroLeague. Good on you, mate. That's pretty good. That's pretty, pretty good. And that's where in the world is Jonah Bolden for this week. And that's it. We're smashing through this because we're getting up to our Thanksgiving break special. It's coming up in just a second, along with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board right now. All right. The Patty Mills Inspiration Board. He's an inspiring guy, is Patrick Mills. He really, really, really is. Thing is, he hasn't gotten around to tweeting out his Game Day Baller Game Day hashtag GoSpurs Go today. So we're going to move straight into the previews. We're going to, what do we do on the NBA Australia? We whip around. We're going to each game on the slate for the entire Thanksgiving break, because NBA Australia is going to be over in Ireland and not doing an episode until next Monday, hopefully, once we get back. So for this Thanksgiving, we're going to give you something to give thanks for in every single game from now until next Monday. Every single NBA game from now until next Monday. That's 45 games, and I'm going to be thankful for all of them, or at least for something in all of them. Probably not going to be thankful for the entire game. We've got heaps of rag games, so let's get stuck in. Wednesday, every fucking team bar Detroit and Indy are playing on Wednesday because it's Thanksgiving Eve, and that's a fun, fun, fun night. All right, let's start off with Brooklyn at Cavs. I'm thankful for the Cavs going to get revenge for losing to Brooklyn earlier in the season. Portland at Philly. I'm thankful for our Lord and Savior Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid going against CJ and Dame. That's nice. Washington at Charlotte. I'm thankful for the moment that Gortat elbows his former teammate Dwight in the ribs so hard that Dwight starts crying. You know it's going to happen. But I'm also thankful for Kemba going against John Wall, just so we can see, yo, Kemba, how you doing over there? How you doing? Clippers at Atlanta. Well, I'm thankful for the Clippers trying to desperately break their 9-game losing streak against the worst team in the NBA. And if they lose, I'm thankful for Doc Rivers getting his ass handed to him. Boston at Miami, I'm thankful for Boston's 16-game winning streak, which will probably randomly come to an end in this game. This feels like a kind of a... Miami will be a weird spoiler. That's what they do. They just come out and they spoil you. Raptors at Knicks, I'm extremely, extremely thankful for... The extreme Zinger meal. Oh, the extreme Zinger meal. How about the extreme... Supercharged Zinger Burger. Oh, wait, the supercharged Zinger Burger. I'm extremely thankful for the Zinger Burger... taking on this weird Raps team that are just sneaky, kicking ass under the radar. You know, Toronto just out there hanging out, just going, don't worry about us. We're just 11-5 and second in the East. It's like, what? Oh, go to hell, Toronto. Anyway, next up, Nuggets at Rockets. I'm thankful for this game having both teams score 140 points. I'm also thankful for Paul Millsap. I love watching that guy play. It's a shame that he's injured. Mavs at Grizz. I'm thankful for the big German homie Dirk, even if it ends up with him punching futilely in the breeze. What a career. What a career. Love you, Dirk. Orlando at Timberwolves. I'm thankful for the Magic teaching us not to overreact to 4 weeks of basketball and that regression is inevitable. Spurs at Pelicans. I'm forever thankful that we got to live in this fever dream of the double big man combo of Anthony Davis and Boogie. And I'll forever be thankful for Pop being a massive jerk, but being fucking great about it. I'm also thankful for Patty Mills being a dead set legend. Warriors at Thunder. Oh my God, what a game. I'm thankful for the NBA, well, to the NBA, for scheduling this game on Thanksgiving Eve. I'm also thankful that the coward Kevin Durant is trying to coward his way out of this game with, oh, I've got a bit of a bum ankle. Come on, help me out. Fuck you, the coward. Play. Bucks at Suns. I'm thankful for Eric Bledsoe going to get his hair cut in that same salon and tweeting, I'm pretty happy to be here. That'd be good. I'm also really thankful for having Deli and Thong, 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 Thong in my life. Bulls at Jazz. I'm thankful for Joe Ingles basically being the best version of an Australian ever. And the final game of that night, Lakers at Kings. I'm thankful for the 2002 Western Conference Finals giving me something to bitch about basically whenever I want, because it was a stitch-up. Right, there's no games Thursday because that's Thanksgiving and you play football then. Friday, Blazers at Nets. I'm thankful for the Blazers trading the Nets' Alan Crabb, whose church group I spent an entire game in 2015 sitting in front of and drunkenly swearing like a 1790s pirate in front of. Man, those poor, lovely churchgoers. Knicks at Hawks. I'm thankful for Dennis Schroeder trying to fight Frankie Smokes in this game in a title belt of best overseas point guard, or best young overseas point guard. Sorry, Ricky Rubio. Magic at Celtics. I'm thankful for the 50 points that Kyrie puts up against Alfred Payton. Hornets at Cavs. I'm thankful for how personal LeBron James seems to find playing against Nick Batum. In 17 games, LeBron averages 29-8-8 against Batum, who averages in return only 13-5-4. Does LeBron just hate French people? Raps at Pacers. I'm thankful for Bojan Bogdanovic's hairline making me feel better about mine. Heat at Timberwolves. I'm thankful for James Johnson trying to kickbox his way through Jimmy Butler and the world ending when they collide. It's gonna happen, telling you. Pistons at Thunder. I'm thankful for the Reggie Jackson homecoming game. And I'm thankful for the Thunder definitely not having a thank you video package for Reggie Jackson when he comes back to OKC. Grizzlies at Nuggets. I'm thankful for Marc Gasol matching up against Marc Gasol 2.0 with Nikola Jokic. Pelicans at Suns. I'm thankful for how much AD and Boogie are going to kill this horrible Phoenix frontline. I'm also thankful for when Boogie gets into a fight with Alex Len and gets tossed. Bulls at Warriors. I'm thankful for Steve Kerr's imagination because he'll need it to come up with all the injuries he'll invent to rest Steph, KD, and Clay in this game. Saturday. Jeez, we're getting there. Spurs and Hornets. I'm thankful for Pop's coaching tree giving shitty franchises like Charlotte and Atlanta glimmers of hope. Magic at Sixers. I'm thankful for the 60-20-10-10 that Joel Embiid probably puts up against the Vooch. Blazers at Wiz. I'm thankful for two of the most exciting backcourts in the NBA going against each other. That's Wall and Beal versus CJ and Dame. That is tasty. Raps and Hawks. Ooh, this is a tough one. I'm thankful for people slowly realizing that the Hawks rookie John Collins is for real. That dude is like legit. I like him a lot. Celtics at Pacers. This is an easy one. I'm thankful for Larry Bird. Without him in the 80s, I probably wouldn't be following basketball. My dog wouldn't have a cool name, and I probably wouldn't support all Boston teams apart from the Celtics. Miss you, Sonics. Miss you. Knicks at Rockets. I'm still thankful for the 1994 NBA Finals, giving us closure on the Ewing-Hakeem argument and proving that Hakeem was the fucking best. I'm also thankful that this matchup is really now super weird, and we have Zinger versus Beard. That's really, really weird. Thunder at Mavs. I am thankful for Dennis Smith Jr. and Rusty Westbrook trying to dunk each other out of existence. Shit, yeah. Pelicans at Warriors. Oh, this would have been really good. I'm thankful for the chance to see if AD and Boogie are the antidote to Warriors small ball. On the flip side, I'm not thankful for the NBA having both of them play this game on a back-to-back. Of course, the Warriors might rest everybody against the Bulls the night before, but they're going to kill the Pelicans. It's tough, man. Tough. This would have been so much fun. Bucks at Jazz, I'm thankful for the Straya in this game. You can have Jingling Joe Ingles and Dante Exum hugging it out with Deli and Thong, 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 Thong. Pretty good. Clippers at Kangs. I'm thankful for interim head coach Mike Woodson's first win in charge of the Clippers. Nice. Sunday, Nets at Grizz. I'm thankful for the food at FedEx Arena in Memphis. I've not had better anywhere else in the NBA. Barbecue, man. Memphis doesn't fuck around. It's great. I'm also thankful for how amazing the staff were there compared to like pretty much everywhere else, like especially Brooklyn and Boston. Going through security, old maid over here, she's got like a bit of a, you know, a very small bag with the, you know, cards, a bit of cash. And we're just used to emptying fucking everything out of the pockets and opening up every bag and going through security. And the dude looked at her bag as she went to open it and she's like, "Miss, you couldn't even fit a fifth in that. I only go through." And it's like, oh shit, I love this place. Just wish we'd actually thought of smuggling booze in. Heat at Bulls. I'm thankful for the 2011 and 2013 playoff matchups between these two. They taught us that the Bulls were never going to get anywhere if the Heat could just put LeBron on D Rose. And that was all she wrote. And that was all that she wrote. It's also amazing that LeBron was just able to like switch onto like guarding MVP point guards in his prime. Fucking unreal. I'm just thankful for LeBron. Even though this is Heat the Bulls. Anyway, Suns at Timberwolves. I'm thankful for Cat destroying this Suns defense, I think. I'm also thankful for Phoenix not being absolutely horrible under Jay Triano. That's pretty strange. Good job, Suns. And then finally, Monday, we will hopefully be back that afternoon and dropping a podcast. And we'll preview these games anyway, but we're going to quickly whip around them. Nets at Rockets. I'm thankful for the regular season points record of 160 the Rockets put up in this game. Magic at Pacers. I'm thankful for the Victor Oladipo revenge game that we're going to get. Cavs at Sixers. Are you fucking kidding? This is like the best game out of all of them. I'm thankful for our Lord and Savior Ben Simmons going up against the King. And also Embiid will be there. Talking all kinds of shit. He's going to go in and wreck up the place. And Pistons at Celtics. I'm thankful for the Avery Bradley coming home game. Got a lot of time for Avery Bradley. Good player. Classy guy. Love him. Blazers at Knicks. I'm thankful for the matchup of the Latvian gangbanger versus the Bosnian bear. The Zinger versus the Nurk. It's live on CBS. Not on CBS. Mavs at Spurs. I'm thankful for the olden days when this is one of the best rivalries in NBA history. Kings at Warriors. I'm thankful for De'Aaron Fox going up against Steph Curry four times a year from now on. That's going to be amazing. And then finally, the 45th game of this slate. Lakers at Clips. I'm thankful for Lonzo Ball. Because it'd be fun if he's good. It's fun if he's bad. Either way, LeVar Ball for president. All right, there you go. 45 games all covered up. That was a lot. I'm thankful for a lot. That's pretty good. All right. We're going to get to it. This is it. We're done basically for the thing. Play the music. Oh man, that has been it. That's NBA Australia for today. That's our big Thanksgiving special. That was massive. 45 games. Y'all want some content? Y'all got some content. It's just exciting to be in the guts of the NBA season at the moment, especially with this huge, huge slate tonight. Thanksgiving, I'm just thankful for the NBA in general. All right, that's been NBA Australia for today. We'll be back on, hopefully, next Monday. So we won't be doing Thursday or Friday this week because the Thanksgiving thing happens and we'll be in Ireland. So we'll be back next Monday, hopefully. In the meantime, you can still follow us on Twitter on at NBA Australia and like us on Facebook over at NBA Australia. There'll be all the usual sort of ridiculous dumb shit that goes up during the days, even though we won't be having an episode today or tomorrow. Tomorrow, Friday. So, even with that, don't forget to subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes. Chuck us a nice 5-star rating and a review while you're at it, eh? Go on. Either way, we'll be back next week with NBA Australia. And we're going to finish off today with Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes on Twitter. And it's going to be very, very fun. Trust me. Trust me. All right, this has been NBA Australia. I've been James Clements. We'll catch us later. All right. Welcome back to my new weekly show called Andrew Bogut Slams a Bunch of Twitter Snowflakes from Twitter. I'm Andrew Bogut. If no one else is going to do it, I reckon, I better. And I'll do it better than just about anyone, I think, about this slamming Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. So I'm going to do it. Let's get to it, eh? So what do we have here? At the Vegas Lounge says, are you and Xavier Campbell both drinking the same size coffees and they only look disproportionate due to your size difference? Okay, so this was in reply to a photo I posted. I was just drinking coffee. And he says that it's weird that because of my hands? Fuck you at the Vegas Lounge. No, I just don't get what you're trying to say here, you dickhead. That is fucking weird, man. So how about no, mate, that is a proper macchiato. Not one of those crap Starbucks snowflakes coffee either. Get real. Gotta have good coffee, mate. All right, that was pretty good. Good job, Bogey. Nice one. Okay, next one. I like this one. I might just retweet it. At Andrew Lawrence, he says, how contemporary comedians divide their professional output? 49% virtual signaling, 49% apologizing, 2% joke telling. I'm going to retweet that. And I'm going to say, 2017, all aboard. Yeah, good one. That's pretty funny, man. It's a tough environment. Nice one. Next up, we have at Sherwood Strauss. Oh, that little fucko, Ethan. He's a funny little cunt, I'll tell ya. Anyway, he says, subject I'd read an article on. How big is the gap between what gets a famous person social media affirmation versus what actually resonate with their fans? Oh, that's an easy one. I'll just retweet that one and just give you my reply. Virtual signaling, you fucking morons. Virtue signaling. Good one, Bogey. Good one. Yeah, fuck a virtue signal. Okay, next up, we have that Max Rimmer. This fucking guy keeps coming back at me. And he says, people who are famous like Andrew Bogut and have really bad politics are the worst. What the fuck? I ain't gonna say, fuck you, snap. Fuck you, Max Rimmer. All right, I'm a... Okay, fuck you, Max. You don't know who I am or what I think about anything except for the stuff I say on here, you fucking dickhead. So, fuck you, you fucking snowflake liptard. Nice one, Bogey. All right, this one's replying to one of my tweets, eh? I just said, elevator small talk, straight-lipped emoji face. And then Kui comes back at me and just says, don't be an asshole. Huh? What the fuck is that about? Okay, Kui. Fuck you, you liptard, lefty snowflake, airy feminist. Nice one, Bogey. Fucking smash that one. Okay, that's it for this week. Tune in next week for more. Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Good job.